Hello and welcome to the Vancouver Tech Podcast. My name is James, and something happened to the show this week, and Audacity crashed while we were recording our intro. So, unfortunately, there's no intro this week, but we do have the meetups around town, as well as our special guest interview. So, sorry for the inconvenience, but please enjoy the show anyway. Thanks.
So, I've already talked about this week being the Startup Vancouver Startup Week. So, there's a couple events on there. You can go to vanstartupweek.ca/schedule to see a whole bunch of stuff. There's almost too much to name. There's like 70 events. So, if you want to check those out for this week coming up, definitely check those out.
All right. Monday, the 26th, we've got, of course, the GitHelp and Zero Tech Meetup happening over at Decentral, 436 West Pender from 4 to 6. Would you bring your laptop to that, James?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. So make sure to bring your laptop. They do have some good Wi-Fi. So if you need to install something, that should be fine. Then we've got from 6:30 to 9:30, there's the Information Architecture and Content Strategy meetup. So this looks pretty interesting. This is over at 420 Homer. And it does have an admission of, looks like it's $5.
Cool. The title is Managing Change or How to Bend Everyone to Your Will and Get Them to Like It. So that's pretty cool. I guess manipulating people with content would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Managing change or how to bend everyone to your will and get them to like it.
Cool.
Yeah, I'd like to know how to do that.
Yeah, definitely. And another cool meetup.
Oh, yeah. So my favorite meetup, as everyone knows, the HackerNest Vancouver. This is happening at Wishpond. So this is 1500 West Georgia in office number 1000. This is up on, I guess it's the 10th floor,
yeah,
isn't it? So there'll be people downstairs to let you in. This is from 8 p.m., and there is a entry by donation, suggested donation of $10.
Cool. Yeah. All right. And now Tuesday.
So Tuesday the 27th, we've got a couple of cool meetups here that are on Vancouver Pixel Crafters. So this one, Open Coffee, which happens, how often does that happen? Is it every couple of weeks?
I think it's the first or the last Tuesday of every month.
Last Tuesday of every month. And this is from 8 a.m. till about 9:30 a.m. Over at 315 Carroll Street. And that's Nelson the Seagull.
Yeah, definitely. Pretty cool place.
Awesome. And just, you can show up, you can bring a laptop, you don't have to, yeah. Be ready to have some coffee and some great conversation.
Cool.
Then another one from, posted on the Vancouver Pixel Crafters meetup is CodeCore. They have Lunch and Learn from noon to 1 over at 142 West Hastings. That's CodeCore place. I would probably bring my laptop and try and follow along, although I'm not sure if it's going to be more workshop-y or more presentation-y, but it does look like Brent Vatney, who we haven't had on the show yet, but we're definitely going to get sometime, is going to be doing a Lunch and Learn on React Native and Exponent.js. So Exponent seems really cool, and Brent gave a more of a workshop-style building Android apps with React Native, and I thought it was really great. Very well presented, excellent organization, easy to follow along. And I'm most of the people there were Android or mobile developers already.
Cool.
And I hadn't done much with mobile, and it was, I thought it was great.
Awesome. All right, Vancouver Closure.
Vancouver Closure. So this is from 6 to 9, also at CodeCore, 142 West Hastings. Make sure to check it out. If you want to do anything with Closure, this would be your group.
All right, Vancouver Azure.
So Vancouver Azure, this is at Microsoft's Vancouver, 725 Granville from 6 p.m. And this meetup, it looks like it's focusing on Azure Search. So that should be really cool.
Yeah, their senior software engineer of Microsoft Search is going to be presenting. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would bring a laptop to that, although I'm not sure what to expect. If it is going to be workshop-y or hands-on or more of a presentation. What do you think, James?
I think a presentation, probably.
I think, I have the feeling it's probably going to be more of a presentation.
Yeah.
So it might be fine to show up without a laptop. And there's nothing that says bring one. So
yeah, last thing on Tuesday, Tech Vancouver.
Tech Vancouver. So this is something that I noticed about them. I saw like, oh, it's $18. Has that gone up? And I was like, oh, it hasn't gone up at all. It's actually $12 pre-registration.
Yeah.
$18 at the door, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I believe so.
Yeah. But so I've heard, I haven't actually been to this meetup yet, but I've heard such great things about it. Every time you go, you say it's awesome. I've heard other people say it's awesome. I really got to go and check it out. Tech Vancouver at 401 West Georgia Street, 1500. So, oh, I don't think I've been to the 15th floor in that building, but that's the same building that Unbounce and Mogo and Build Direct are in, isn't it?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're definitely right. Yeah, this actually comes with beer and pizza as well, so get to check out that floor that no one ever has seen at this point, or at least we haven't, and haven't. Get some free stuff.
Cool.
Some pizza and beer.
All right, and that's our Tuesday. So we got Wednesday coming up, Wednesday the 28th. We have Vancouver Linux Desktop Meetup. This is over at Decentral, 436 West Pender, from 4:30 to 6:30. Make sure to bring an appetite for Linux.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
Then the Pluralsight Study Group. So our guest today, Sam Sullivan, who runs the Pluralsight Study Group, really made this sound, or will make this sound, like a really interesting group. If you haven't been to it, make sure to listen to our guest today. It does sound pretty awesome. I haven't been, but I think, what are they studying this week?
So this week is getting started with Elasticsearch for .NET.
Right, and they're kind of in the middle of it, so they'll be continuing with that. And that's from 5:30 p.m. Make sure to bring your laptop. Mm-hmm. He did mention something about snacks and beer, I think, as well.
Yeah, definitely. There's always some little snackies there, he said.
Yeah, and sometimes beer.
Yeah.
And so we've got the Learn Data Science meetup as well. This is over at 555 West Hastings. This is at SFU Harbor Center in Suite 1200, or I guess room 1200, from 6 p.m. What's the paper this week, James?
Boltzmann Machines.
Boltzmann Machines.
Boltzmann. Boltzmann.
Oh, Boltzmann.
Boltzmann Machines.
Awesome. Yeah. Sounds pretty cool. So make sure to read the paper and go and check that out. I actually had lunch with Charles last week, and we kind of talked a little bit about it, and it made me really wish that I made it out to this event sometimes.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. And then we've got...
We got the Elm user group coming up.
Yeah, so this is really cool. So this is an Elm hands-on workshop. This is over at Unbounce, which is 400-401 West Georgia, from 6:30 p.m. I would definitely bring a laptop to this, especially since it says hands-on workshop.
Yeah.
And Elm, if you haven't done anything with, this would probably be a great meetup to get started with it.
Yeah, it does say beginner to intermediate level, so that's pretty good for an intro.
Sweet. Yeah, I definitely want to check that out. And that's our Wednesday. So Wednesday sounds like a lot of fun. Then we got Thursday, the 29th. We start out with the DDD, CQRS, and ES Practitioners Meetup. And it looks like they bumped the time up on this to 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's kind of old news by now.
Yeah.
But from 5 to 7, bring your laptop, get ready to do some event storming, talk about some ideas, do some whiteboarding sessions. And also, I think this is a really good chance to bring your own idea if you have something that you want to get out there. I'm starting to see, actually, with my own work, that sometimes I should be, I really need to get to this meetup again, because I should be doing this and doing these practices a lot more. I should be practicing what they preach there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, Van Q.
Yeah, so their location this month is to be disclosed, but this is from 6 p.m. As always, Van Q is it's a really well-organized meetup, I think, and I really like their topics, so this should be no exception.
Definitely.
Then we've got another one posted on the Vancouver Pixel Crafters, Startup Drinks. So tell us a little bit about that one, James.
Yes, so this one's at the last Thursday of every month.
Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty similar to Open Coffee, but in the evening.
Yes, exactly. And it's at 131 Water Kitchen and Bar at, surprise, surprise, 131 Water Street.
Yeah.
It's a very social event, no laptops or anything like that. Come to 131 Water Kitchen and Bar, grab a little food, grab a little drink.
And so it does say 6 p.m., so it's a kind of an early start time, and I'm sure there will be people there.
Yeah.
But even if you show up, I think when I went there at about 9 or 9:30 or maybe even 10, and there were still people there. So I don't think it really ends that early, and people kind of come and go in waves.
Yeah, definitely.
I wouldn't worry about bringing a laptop, but bring some, bring an appetite for some drinks and discussion.
Yeah, definitely.
And then we've got the Windows Platform Developers Group. This is at 1100-1111 Georgia Street from 6 to 8. What's this all about, James?
Windows 10, what's new for developers?
Nice. So that sounds pretty awesome. So do you use Windows at all, James?
I don't, actually. My girlfriend does, because she's doing a lot of 3D stuff, and all the programs are for Windows. So whenever I am using it, it's because I'm like doing something on her computer.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So for the right now, I don't have a desktop, but I was thinking about building one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also just kind of like imagining, you know, getting the parts together, building it. And then I was thinking, you know, what operating system would I install on it? And I was like, well, okay, so what would I install Windows for? And a lot of people are like, oh yeah, games, of course, you need Windows.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, even if I was going to run games, what games, like these days, there's so much more of a selection of games that run on non-Windows operating systems, that might not even be necessary.
You can thank Steam for that. Because they've been porting, their Steam box runs on a flavor of Linux, and so they've been porting a lot of the games over, which is pretty great.
Yeah, I've noticed that. On the other hand, though, I have also noticed that games like Overwatch, for example, which is from Blizzard, it's their first game that I've ever seen from them that's not built for Mac and Windows, but Windows only, and some consoles.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, that's disappointing, but I mean, maybe hopefully it'll roll out sooner or later.
I don't know if it will. I don't think it will, because they've never done that before.
Oh, that's sad.
I think it's just a change that they have in their... Anyway, so that might be an interesting thing. Windows 10 for developers.
Yeah.
I'd like to check that out. And then another one on the Vancouver Pixel Crafters. We got data pipelines and distributed systems. This looks really cool. And I think... Thursday is just going to be a tough choice of what to go to. But this is over at Stat Search Analytics, 704 Alexander Street, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And what's that all about, James?
So this one is data pipelines and distributed systems. So they have an agenda. The first, they actually have doors, and the doors open, and they actually have pizza as well in the between 6:30 and 7. Mm-hmm. This is their new office. So if you've been there before to STAT or STAT or whatever they might call themselves, make sure you check the address on that. The speaker is Ganesh Swamy, and he's the founder of Solota, and he'll do a 25-minute presentation on continuous data.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds really cool. So continuous data warehousing, building a fast loader for Redshift and Postgres.
Yeah.
Followed by Q&A. Sounds great. I don't know what I'm going to go to, but
yeah,
we'll have to
week.
See. This should be a great week that we have coming up. And it looks like that's it for Meetups Around Town. And we're here with our special guest, Sam Sullivan of PNI.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on, Sam. So you're actually organizing one of the meetups that we haven't been to yet, but we really want to get to, and that's the Pluralsight Study Group?
Yeah, so we run that every Wednesday, 5:30 until 6:30. Pluralsight Study Group, 100 Corral Street, that's at the PNI Digital Media offices. We run that in one of their boardrooms. We take over the boardroom. We throw up some Pluralsight courses on the big screen.
Yeah.
We'll normally split them over a few weeks, so we'll run maybe, it depends how long the course is in total, but we'll try and get through half an hour, 45 minutes worth of material. And then we break frequently during it. People throw hands up, we'll ask questions about what we've just watched, laptops will open, people will throw up some code examples. It's a pretty relaxed meetup. It's quite often beers, there's always snacks, pops. So there's sustenance to keep people going.
Nice. So what was the motivation behind starting it?
It was around engaging young developers, really, young, ambitious developers. So I've actually been at PNI Digital Media for just over a year now. And we were looking to recruit when I landed there.
Yep.
And we were trying to find some things, first of all, to get some really keen developers through the door. And secondly, to keep them engaged, and it was a good training exercise.
Sure.
And I was already working with Pluralsight, so everyone at PNI has a Pluralsight subscription, so we know the product well, and it's an awesome training resource.
Yep.
And I was speaking with Pluralsight reps about this, and they said they've got a few other Pluralsight meetups around the globe, but there weren't any in Canada. So we said, hey, let's spin one up in Canada, first Canadian Pluralsight Study Group.
Nice.
And it just went on from there. So we've been going, 8 months maybe now, 9 months, every week. It's a good group. Sometimes the room's full. Sometimes, we just get a handful of people, depending on the topic, depending on whether it's sunny and the patios are open.
Right. So what sort of courses have you gone through so far? And how do you decide what ones to focus on?
Yeah, so we've gone through a whole range so far. A lot of our courses are .NET focused because we're a .NET shop predominantly in-house, but we step outside of it as well. So we've done some JavaScript, we've done beginners JavaScript, we've done some React and Redux, we've done building a secure API for multiple clients, which was a really interesting one. We've done some security courses. Right now we're in the middle of Elasticsearch for .NET, which is pretty cool. It's only two, so I think we'll be wrapping that up next week, and then we'll be back into second step of JavaScript. Mm-hmm. But it really depends. So the way we pick the course is as we get towards the end, we'll kind of poll the room, and whoever's there, yeah, will, you know, gets to pick the next topic. Mm-hmm. If there's no consensus, then I just pick one something I'm interested in. But, but normally, it's pretty democratic.
Right.
So how has it worked for P&I? Have they seen success in running the meetup as well as seeing recruitment, or has that been mixed? What would be the verdict on that?
I think they see it as success. I mean, it's partly getting P&I's name out right as well, because we fly kind of beneath the tech radar, even though we're a pretty big dev shop there. Mm-hmm. We don't have a retail front to us,
right?
So it's about getting our name out there, and that's definitely worked. You know, it's promoting us a bit. We've got some good guys through the door because of it. So I think it's seen as a success, definitely. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about P&I. What does P&I do?
Yeah, so we're actually a subdivision of Staples now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We were bought about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So P&I came as a startup about 15 years ago, I think, sort of recognizing that the physical print was on the way out, and everything was moving to digital,
right,
and they were going to capitalize on that. So we're an e-commerce software solution provider. Mm-hmm. We started off on photo business, but now we're a bit broader than that. We're sort of moving into back office supplies and some business stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Staples saw us as a startup and bought us a couple of years ago. They were a customer of ours, and other customers of ours are some of the big mega retailers. So we've got Costco and Tesco, mm-hmm, in the UK, and some of those guys on our books.
Right.
We build out their photo websites. We build out sort of back office supplies stuff, photo gifts, mm-hmm, those kind of things. It's a pretty neat platform.
How many offices does P&I have around the globe?
So we're almost entirely based in Vancouver. We've, mm-hmm, got a small office down in Austin, Texas.
Yep.
And we've got a small operation over in the UK as well.
Okay.
Just a handful of guys.
Mm-hmm.
But almost all of our developers are Vancouver based. You know, we're just on the edge of Gastown and Chinatown.
Oh, nice. And how many developers we've probably got about
50 core developers, mm-hmm, in there, and then maybe another 20 around the edges.
Okay, so that's quite a few.
Oh, it's a decent sized dev team. Yeah, yeah. It's a fun place to work. Dog friendly. Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Tell us a little bit more about the the work culture and the tech stack. So obviously you said .NET, but
yeah, so a lot of .NET there. We've got some Angular 1, looking at Angular 2.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a bit of React, like I said, and Redux in there. So it's kind of, you know, React and Angular are kind of vying right now. So, mm-hmm, I think we're probably edging more towards the React.
Oh yeah,
camp right now, yeah.
Interesting. I was really curious to hear what you'd say there, because I've noticed that it seems to me, anyway, anecdotally, that people coming from more strongly typed languages, mm-hmm, tend to lean toward Angular.
Yeah.
Whereas people coming from like the dynamically typed languages often lean toward React. I don't know that that's a truism, but it seems that way. And so, you know, a .NET shop leaning toward React seems kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely been kind of on that fence,
mm-hmm,
and I think we've got a lot of Angular 1.x in there at the moment. But
right.
I think just the guys with Angular just taking that little bit of extra time,
mm-hmm,
getting to out the door,
yeah,
has just let React through. And mm-hmm, we had one big project kick off with React. They were originally going to go with Angular 2 beta,
mm-hmm,
and then they said, no, you know what? No, we'll go with React.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved the dev experience with React so much.
Yeah.
They React and Flux, they just loved it.
Yeah,
awesome. And I think that's kind of sold us on it as a technology going forward, you know, and it might be the signal to us that, uh-huh, React's the way to go.
So maybe you can talk a bit about your position at P&I and how you work on your day-to-day basis.
So I'm the dev manager there at the moment. And my day is pretty varied. It depends on where projects are at any one time, and it's never dull over there.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got maybe 12 dev teams, all focused on different retailers, on different areas of the platform.
Yeah.
So my day over there is it's basically making sure developers are comfortable, making sure they're happy,
mm-hmm,
making sure the architects are working with the developers. A lot of work with the project managers. So we're pretty agile over there.
Mm-hmm.
We follow a fairly agile methodology.
Yeah.
So it's jumping into the scrums and just keeping things ticking along. And then it's making sure we're training the guys, we're keeping them engaged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're putting on things like Pluralsight. We're running hackathons. So we had an awesomely successful hackathon about 4 months ago. We're just looking at kicking the next hackathon off at PNI, probably in the next couple of months, which we might be throwing open to external developers to come in. So the first one, which we ran a while ago, was just internals.
Mm-hmm.
But we had six awesome teams mm-hmm. take part. And we had a bots project come out of it. We had some real-time user support tools come out of it. We had some pretty neat things, which will probably, in fact, we've got one of those things in production already. So
awesome.
We had an awesome security scanning tool for just scanning the legitimacy of URLs.
Mm-hmm.
So that went straight in and is already working for us. So we'll be spinning another one up soon.
So how important, you mentioned training and keeping people engaged. How important is that, and what are some ways to do it?
I would say in Vancouver, for us, it's massively important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the ways we really try and do that is we just expose our developers to as much as quickly as possible. You know, mm-hmm. we at PNI, we don't kind of believe in pigeonholing a developer.
Right.
So, you know, we'll bring a junior in. And we'll just kind of throw them in the mix straight away and just get them facing real problems right from scratch. And I think getting that exposed, it's all very well compartmentalizing things a bit and getting really good at that and then moving on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't get that overall vision of the SDLC. And
So
we really like to just chuck guys in, and we might start off with small maintenance tasks,
mm-hmm.
but they'll see that through from start to completion,
right.
soup to nuts all the way through. So then, we'll sort of move them off those tasks and into more core roles, and they're already experiencing the full SDLC, and they know mm-hmm. how a lot of things fit together. And they're, you know, they might have got their fingers a little bit burnt, and you know, but that's good. Like, you know, that's an awesome learning experience. So it's trying to make the experience as rich as possible, and empowering them. You know, trusting guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got to trust people to make some mistakes and learn from those mistakes and just keep moving forward. So that's kind of the ethos we try to employ. Yeah.
Right. What are some of the qualities that you're looking for in bringing new people on?
Just ambition. Mm-hmm. Ambition. Being driven by the technology as well. You know. Mm-hmm. So when we're interviewing, especially junior developers, I'm looking for are they doing some projects outside as well. You know, have they got some side projects going on? Are they working on things at home? Like whether it's IoT or whether it's whether it's just dev projects that they've got on the side. That's the kind of thing I'd be looking for.
Yeah,
it's personality and it's sort of ambition and it's tech driven.
Mm-hmm.
Has PNI released any open source projects out there?
No, we've talked about it.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. It's something I think we would like to do.
Yeah.
We have been looking at our stack recently and trying to identify what we could do. So we did have a public API that we had out there.
Okay.
Which allowed developers to then leverage our platform, but in their own products. Which it didn't have a huge amount of success. So I think there was something there that we'd like to kind of keep moving on,
right.
And perhaps open sourcing some of our stuff would be the way to do that. So it's we're talking about it,
cool.
But I don't think we've found the right opportunity just yet.
So I know you work with a lot of pretty gigantic clients,
yeah.
or partner with a pretty gigantic company. So are there any safety steps in place? I know you're talking about trial by fire with these new people that come along. Is there anything in there to sort of wrangle that sort of new and wild ambition that these people have?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Yeah, so when we have lots of checks and balances in place, obviously, as everyone's going to have, you know, everyone providing that kind of service these days needs those checks and balances in place.
Right.
We have an awesome security team, so they're a pretty new addition to PNI Digital Media, but we have a dedicated security team. So they've got a lot of ideas around governance and best practices that they'll employ. You know, we have a good set of standards as well, and there's a lot of static analysis that's beginning to be done. So, you know, we've got an awesome code review process. We have some static analysis tools for scanning for security vulnerabilities.
Oh, that's cool.
In there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that kind of stuff goes on. But it's really, I mean, the real sort of control around this, you know, this untapped ambition, perhaps, or, you know, kind of taming that fire a bit, is really just the steps around code review and the mentorship from lead developers. And, you know, we've got some really great seasoned leads and seniors in there. Mm-hmm. So it's really just relying on their experience and the best practices. And allowing people to make mistakes, but then correcting those mistakes before things get to production.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. So you're talking about security and having checks in place. I don't think we've talked to too many people that have a real strong team that represents their security side. How did that sort of come around? You said it's relatively new. So what maybe triggered that?
Yeah, so we had quite a high-profile security issue. Just probably about a year and a half ago. So it was just as I was arriving at P&I Digital Media. And I can't talk too much about it. There are legal proceedings still in place. So I can't sort of touch on specific details.
Sure.
But it was something that really kind of focused our attention, where there had been attention there before. But it really just crystallized the importance for the level of focus on security best practices. Mm-hmm. Principles like principle of least privilege and security in depth and static analysis tools and you know, sort of relying on tools to actually provide some feedback on what we're actually putting out there. Mm-hmm. So that was really the trigger, was this incident. And we, at that point, we decided we weren't just going to focus on security, but we were actually going to focus on becoming a security center of excellence within the Staples group. Mm-hmm. So at that point, we hired a dedicated security team. So we hired a security manager who's got an awesome background in security. He actually has been heavily involved in some of the OWASP Vancouver chapter meetings. So he's been heavily involved in some of the Vancouver OWASP chapter meetings, and he's been responsible for sort of running some of those. So we got him on board. He'd previously worked with I think this guy's a PhD security guy. So nice. You know, he wanted to get him on board immediately. So those two came in, and that combination, you know, the guy with a lot of the kind of governance experience, and he's come from a financial services background, so a lot of scrutiny there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Him plus a colleague who he's worked with, who is incredibly, phenomenally technical.
Yeah.
In software security, bringing those guys on board has just like really now, they've kind of that's now the embryo really for us, and they're really leading the sort of security charge around this. Mm. But we. It was a big deal for us, and we essentially rebuilt our entire data center from scratch. We went back to source code. We rebuilt the entire platform over two or three pretty hectic months last summer.
Oh, yeah.
With security in mind, I guess.
With security in mind, in a completely clean, from the ground up data center.
Yeah,
That
sounds like a really good learning experience, though, for other people maybe not in that security team to get to learn some of the best practices in.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And to get exposure to people with that kind of experience.
Yeah. And that was probably one of the early things behind actually kicking off the Pluralsight study groups. Is from that we went through Pluralsight and we identified a whole bunch of security courses. Mm-hmm. We just said, right, this is mandatory for all developers coming into PNI.
Right.
These are the courses. There's a lot of Troy Hunt courses on there. Mm-hmm. So you're like, right, you know, everyone watches these four Troy Hunt courses plus these other courses. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's now the foundation that we work to, and then we sort of build on that. So that was really one of the triggers for the Pluralsight study group as well. Mm-hmm. was having that that incident.
Very cool. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You said you've been with P&I for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
You said now. What were you doing before?
So I've been in Vancouver now for about 5 years, P&I for a year and a half. Before that, I was working for I seem to work for these kind of little shops within big organizations.
Right.
So I was working for Phillips Hager and North, who are part of RBC Global Asset Management.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the dev manager over there, much smaller team over there. .NET again, which seems to be my wheelhouse. But yeah, you know, they had some cool stuff going on in there as well. They had some quant developers who were working on some cool software for basically portfolio analytics, like quantitatively analyzed portfolios.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty neat. So, you know, there's some PhDs over there as well.
Yeah.
Nice. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us a little bit more about your community presence. So you've got the Pluralsight meetup that you run.
Yeah.
And are you active in any of the other meetups around town, or will we see you at places like HackerNest?
Yeah, so I was going to the OWASP chapter stuff. Mm-hmm. I went to some of their meetings. I think they've kind of slowed down a bit recently, probably because we've poached one of their coordinators. Uh-huh. But yeah, so I was going to the OWASP stuff. I think OWASP, developers and people involved in development who are interested in security, OWASP is a fantastic organization. Mm-hmm. And I'd recommend anyone interested in developer security goes and checks out what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, you know, I was involved in, or I went along to some of the security meetups as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if people want to reach out to you, what's a good way to get a hold of you?
So the best place to get hold of me is probably directly at PNI.
Mm-hmm.
So my PNI email address is SSULLIVAN@PNIDigitalMedia.com.
Awesome. Okay. Well, Sam, thank you very much for being on our Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Awesome. Thanks for listening to me, guys.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Check out our website, vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Rate and subscribe on iTunes. Much appreciated.
You can follow us on Twitter, VanTechPodcast.
Feel free to leave some comments below.
You can also hit us up on the YVR Dev, the Vancouver Tech, the VanTech Slacks. I'm at James.
And I'm at Drew. Special thanks to Same Room for hooking us up with an integration that allows us to have a cross-team Slack channel, VanDevs.
Do you have a meetup that you want us to plug? Email us, show@vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Music by A Shell in the Pit from the game Parkitect. See you at one of the meetups
around town.